And you don't know how to draw close to one another. You don't know how to draw close to brothers and sisters. Because you're not truly a brother. And you're not truly a sister. That's why you can't draw close to no one. You're callous, you're cold, you have no life, you have no natural affection. He says it's a polluted and oppressed city. They've been eating polluted trash. They don't know what to do. He says in verse 3, Zephaniah, her rulers within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. Look at this now. And they leave no bones till tomorrow. They chew them up. You tell me this world is not doing this? The rulers of the world? They're not chewing the bones of the people, killing them and destroying them, polluting their minds, controlling their minds. And this is the purveyor of control here from this nation. It controls every nation. It controls everything. I was reading how in Baghdad, you know, it's one of the places whereby there's no copyright. Most of the Arabic nations, they have no copyright. You write a book, they take it in and rewrite it, put their name on it. You have no authority. What you do, you just try to sell as many as you can, but they have no copyright. So when the movies and things go there, they were talking about some of the movies. When they go there, they will cost you here in America, $40 for the movie, they'll cost you $2. A pair of those $200 tennis shoes, isn't that amazing? That someone will pay for here, they pay $5 a pair there. So no copyright. So you have no intellectual properties there. They take it, they translate it into their language, and they sell it. Someone get it from there, take it, translate it into their language and sell it. And so, see, America cannot get a stronghold of that. See, that was the whole purpose of them going over there to get control of that economy. You understand? To try to build this one up. She's going to fall, though. The economy's going to fall. Young men going to Iraq, one in every two soldiers. If you go over there, you have one in two chances of not getting killed or getting hurt or getting maimed. So every one of every two soldiers go over there, they're hurt. Losing arms, fingers, legs, foot. Losing a foot. Being shot. Losing their eyesight. One in every two soldiers. They're controlling it. And so they got this group set apart, part of this conservative hierarchy, who said, we're fighting for democracy. What, I say like this, what in the is democracy? Demology, if anything. What liberties? I was talking with Steve down here the other day. He said, Pastor Roberts, he said, my wife, she's lived in this house all her life. A little house she bought, she paid for it. She made her last payment a month ago. She said they came and said to her, we want the house, eminent domain. He said right across the street from her is a pasture, nothing but pasture. There's nothing there. And yet they want to take her little house. What can I do? I'm going to call the councilman. I say, Steve, I'll tell you what, there's nothing you can do. Because they're going to take the house. Nothing. Just try to get the best penny she can get. Just negotiate. And you do market up like that. And they're going to shoot high ball. And they're going to shoot low ball. And you shoot a little lower than the high ball. And they're going to shoot a little higher than the low ball. And that's what you can do because they're going to take it. There's nothing you can do. Period. And that's how they've controlled the mind this way. When this vicious beast, when she unleashed the fury of her power, she's going to unleash it upon many. You understand that? Mr. Sherrod said the other day that I am willing. Isn't this amazing? Jacques Sherrod said, I will use nuclear weapons against terrorists. And yet they tell him, Mr. Jamadi, that you can't build a nuclear bomb. But yet Mr. Sherrod said, I will use it. The hypocrisy. The wickedness. She's a twisted nation. The mindsets of the people are twisted. The enemy has twisted their minds. And they are training up your sons and daughters to sacrifice themselves unto the gods of this world. That's what they're doing. And you parents don't have enough prayer. You don't have enough love for Yahweh. You don't pray. You don't pray. You don't get on your knees for a diddly squat. You know how to run your mouth. You know how to jack your lips. You know how to think you're tough. You know how to talk tough. But you don't pray. You're full of hell. You're full of darkness. You're full of sin, full of corruption. You don't love Yahweh. Why? Because you will not hear His voice. You will not obey Him. You don't want Him to correct you. And you think something's going to happen without you praying, nothing's going to happen. I don't care how much you hope. I don't care what you want, how you feel. That don't mean nothing to Yahweh. Yahweh just showing you what you produce is coming out of you. Why? Because you have nothing. She's not going to have anything. He's not going to have anything. He just showing you that.
You don't want to deal with the fact of reality. And so what he's done, he has raised up a God, he has raised up a ruler, he has raised up a prince and a king of this hour that he controls every part of your function, manipulates you. To your stupid emotions and your feelings. You're going to die in them. You're going to die. That's what she does, manipulates you. Your emotions, your feelings. The way I feel, the way I think means nothing to Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. No whatsoever. Yahweh said, I want to show you what they have done. He said in verse 4, he said, her prophets are wanton. They are shallow. They have no life. They're greedy. They're wanton. They're reckless and they're treacherous people. Her Kohens, her priests, they are polluted. They have polluted the Kodash place, the Bayat, the tabernacle of Yahweh. And look what they have done. And they have done what? Violence to the Torah. And that's what they have done today. They've done violence to the Torah. They have rejected the Torah. They have done violence, brothers and sisters. Do you hear me? That's why the minds of the children are violent today. That's why the children are violent toward their parents. That's because they're controlling every aspect of your sons and daughters. They're manipulating them. I don't care what you say, what you think. Well, I know my daughter, she would never. Do you truly know her? Do you truly know her? Or you just speak because of your pride? Oh, my son would never do that. My mother, do you know your mama? It's a wicked generation. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. You always said, I'm going to raise up those that will speak the truth. They're going to teach. They're going to feed. How do I know? Well, this little young 16-year-old boy, he tells me, preach, Pastor Robin. That's enough for me. That's all right. That blessed my heart. That strengthened my heart. He's not strengthened his. That little young man doesn't realize how he strengthened my heart. He strengthened my heart. I've been telling all the brothers about it. As I read it to you. Sure. It's a great strength. You take a young man like that and say, I know what I need. And you soften my heart. But he didn't say you made me angry against Yahweh. Well, you soften it. You made my heart pliable. You made me realize what it's going to take. I fail Yahweh. But I know what it's going to take. Truth. He said they've done violent to the Torah. We've done violent to the Torah, haven't we? Rejected it. Our religious traditions. Our black way, our white way. Has caused us to reject Yahweh's Torah. We've established, going about establishing our own righteousness, haven't we? Doing what is right in our own eyes. Well, how have we come to that place? Why? Because we have been manipulated. Our minds have been manipulated. They've altered our ability to think and to rationalize. They have caused our minds to be manipulated and taken control by the elements of this world. And Shaitan is very fabulous with that. He tried to do what Yahshua, what did he use? Everything he used to take control over his mind was things, were they not? Over him the high places? Showed him all the kingdoms? The beauty of it? The filth of it? All it's mine? You can have it? And he wanted him to eat from that table. And Yahweh doesn't want us to eat from that table. I want to show you what that table consists of. And in every house today, you got a table with that little black thing, a little white thing, a little thing that sits on it, doesn't it? And everyone is drawn to that table. You understand that is the metaphor of a table. It's a place whereby the bread of the food and the wine is placed there. And so everyone is attracted to it. There's hardly anyone that has left this community that have not gone back to the rot and the darkness and the power to be controlled by that thing. Every last one of them. I guarantee you. The tabernacle, that is not a tool of hell. You can justify them and say they are right. They are not right. That thing to take up all their time. Energize them, motivate them when the scripture doesn't do it, cause them to react, their children, their sons and daughters, don't tell me that's of Yahweh. That is a power of darkness. It is a devious work of hell to control their mind to receive the powers that shall come. And they can't speak against darkness. They have no light to speak against it. None whatsoever. Their minds are controlled. It takes them into a hypnotic state. And they're always hypnotized. You always, why? You're so hypnotized, you can't wait till you get back in front of it. You go to the work and you can't wait to get home as soon as you get home. Some still have that hypnosis in them. Because they sat there for hours just doing that. Come on, you know something gets wrong. I will get that mind out of me. I will get it on my face. That's not of Yahweh. I don't care what you say. And I know what I'm saying is the truth. I recall many years ago that I was reading this article that it was a little, I think it was in Indian Punjab, that a woman, all of a sudden, in those countries they live in high rises. You're talking about almost 1.2 billion people in India. And most of them try to live in the cities. So in the provinces, unless you're really out from the country, most of the people live in the cities. I was telling the brother, one of the provinces, I think China has 18 provinces, what we will call states in America. They have 18 provinces. And one of the provinces, there's a city called Guangdong. It has 18, just in the city, not 18 million people. 18 million just in that city. That's not including the whole province. Just in the city of Guangdong. 18 million people. And so all of a sudden they heard something crash from the city. Bam! And so everybody ran to that one and they looked out. The woman had thrown her television out. Just bam! And all of a sudden, the whole apartment building started throwing them out downstairs. And so they interviewed her and said, why did you do this? She said, because that thing, it is the power of darkness. It has taken control over me. It runs my house. It runs every aspect of me. It runs my children. I must get rid of it. You go to every poor nation. I've been to Kenya. I've seen that. I've flown across Europe. I see everywhere. You can just see nothing in Kenya. Those poor countries, nothing but dishes and nothing but antennas. I mean, poor people, filthy. And it controls their lives. Don't tell me that's Yahweh. There's only one thing He put to control our lives. And that's Torah. Torah governs us. The Torah. Torah teaches us. And that thing has misplaced Torah. They've done violence to the Torah. So it teaches our children how to be everything but what Yahweh wants them to be. Tell them how to be disrespectful. To be defiant. To be nasty. To have crude attitudes. That's what He's done. Sure it has. The twisted up books. Those things are curious arts. I'm warning you, brothers and sisters, you, especially with these little trinkets for your children, you get that trash out of Victory. They don't need no Spider-Man. They need Yahshua the man. They don't need no Tonka, the big bad Hulk. They need to be clean. You don't want that in their minds. It's filthy. It is deluded. It pollutes them. It's opened up their little conscience for every kind of foul thing it is. And you wonder why they're acting crazy and why a little 12-year-old can go out and murder someone or kill someone. Because of that. You don't want that, I'm telling you. And these, what they call heroes, that's all they blast hell. They knock down. They disregard. They tap everything. Stomp down. That's what they do. And you put that in your children, that's why they act crazy as hell. And I say it like that. Now challenge me. It's not of your way. He wants you to teach them. Train them while they're young. We're still young. That's why He wants to train us. He wants to teach us. Look what Scripture says in Yeshaya. I want to show you another table of darkness. Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 20, verse 7. I don't back down, brothers and sisters. What are you saying? I stand fast is truth. And I'm not going to capitulate when it comes to truth. I don't care. As I say to El Lamar and Deacon Benny, as we walk and we talk, the brothers, Brother Dale, I don't care who leaves from here. I'm just telling you that. You're not going to stop anything. Nothing is going to change. And we're going to live just as good and going to eat just as well. I'm telling you, know that. Ain't nothing. I don't care who you are. I don't care how upset you get. And I'm not going to change nothing for you. And appease your damned of a wicked flesh. Not at all. I'm not going to do it. You move in the neighborhood, they're not going to stop playing their music because you move there. They're not going to stop throwing their parties on Friday night because you're moving in there. They're going to do it right on and tell you to get a life what they will tell you. Sure they will. And you better get Him in your life because I'm not going to change anything. Not one thing to satisfy and accommodate any flesh. I'm going to hold fast to His truth. Scripture says in Yeshaya chapter 28 verse 7. Yahweh says to His house, now this is us here. We are the Ephraims. We are the Yehudas. We are the Benjamites. Look what He says. He said in chapter 28 verse 7. But they also have gone astray through wine, through the strong drinks. They fill your bellies with strong drinks, don't they? Seducing drinks. He said, and through strong drinks are out of the way. We have gone out of the way of Yahweh. Every man is turning into his own way. Every man has found the way that is satisfactory to him. He said, and the Kohens and the prophets and Nabis have gone astray through their strong drink. They are swallowed up by wine. By delusions. And that is the wine of America. It brings about a great delusion. Isn't that what wine does? You tell me during pre shock we have that little winder. You tell me it doesn't alter your emotions, your feelings. As the old preacher would say, come on here, somebody. Makes you feel a little different, doesn't it? Come on here. And it makes you want to drink a little more because it makes you begin to feel a little merry. Sure it does. Begin to make your heart feel a little merry, make you feel a little different. And it make you feel a little different and make your body feel a little different. Come on. Am I telling the truth? And so that is what has happened today. The words of the wine, the strong words today. And all the men like T.D. Jakes, they got cold drum of this deceitful wine. And they poured out, God wants you to be rich. God wants your destiny to be of your choosing and what you choose to be. That is not your way. That way it seems right unto man, but it leads to death and destruction. God wants you to be all you want to be. His God does. But not your way. Not your way. He got a message I call the Ten Commandments of Success on Jobs. The Ten Commandments of Success on a Job. And people are buying it by the millions. Said $5 for a million, how much is that? If you send $5, if he sells $1 million, how much money is that? Come on, people. If he sells $1 million at $5 a piece, how much is that? Huh? $5 million. You understand that? See, that's how he makes his money. Is that as much as they paying him because he don't want a salary? You hold him down. Or they may give him, make his house payment and his payment for his Bentleys and his Jags and his son's cars. He has about 6-7 youngins. But that's where he gets his offering from. He'll do a seminar like that. Send a $5 gift. Can you imagine what he paid for a CD? We buy CDs here. How much do we average for a CD? Even buying somewhere like the business store, how much is one? Really, it's a little less than that. And we buy the nice jewels, the coverings, about what? 15 cents a piece. So you got less than 50 cents at one. You understand? Do you all hear me? It's, he has the ability to mass produce them. They got machines that will produce 1,000 at a time. 1,000 just like that. You don't have to do nothing. So he buys the CDs by the hundreds of thousands of the tapes and loads them. Just like that. That's all it takes. Cost you another, like a regular postage, 60 cents. You got less than a dollar. And so he says, send me that. Two go to me and I'll give one to the Potter house. That don't seem too bad, does it? And so they feed them these strong wines and they're drawn. And wine makes you do things that you don't even realize you're doing. Sure does. And the more you drink it, the more intoxicated you become. And the more intoxicated you become, you don't realize what you're doing. And then you become drunk, and this is a nation that is drunk and with lust and greed. You understand? And then they began to puke. The more you drink it, it causes you to puke. Yeah, use that expression, not vomit or egurgitate. You puke. You puke like the dogs puke, and then lick it back up. And so he said, the strong drinks or the strong wine has caused the nobbies and the co-ants to be turned out of the way. He said, they are swallowed up by wine in verse 7. They're swallowed up by wine. They are away from the truth through strong drink. Now, do you hear that, saints? That is what this world has done. Because of these strong drinks and what they offer, the people are far removed from the truth. They're away from the truth. They don't want to hear truth. This is a generation that rather hear something that's full of folly and gossip than hear someone speak on truth. We will get bored with someone teaching us scripture truth than someone teaching us something that's full of folly and foolishness. Because we have erred through our strong drinks. It said, and they go astray in vision and they stumble in judgment. Now, I don't want to do that. They stumble. Yahweh is known by the power of his judgment. So they stumble because they're drunk. They're so consumed with the world. And that's what these men, you become so worldly like that. You don't want to deal with the things of the world. You don't want to come against them because you know that you are part of that. You know your lifestyle is just like that. You're greedy and you're so incensed with things that you must have that. So you promote that strong drink among the people. You dilute their minds. You pervert their minds. You corrupt their minds. And they all are like you. That they will never get what you got. They will never have what you got because you got the control over the purse. You understand? So they're not going to live in the kind of house you live in. Very few. But because of the strong drink, it's one thing about a man that at a bar he will drink. Give me another drink. He already drunk. No, give me another one. And he'll sit there and drink until he becomes so inebriated he can't move. Now, I use that analogy to show what they've done. They will say, here's more, here's another offering, here's another sacrifice, trying to get to that high like a T.D. Jakes or Benny Hinn. They'll never get there. They'll never get there. They'll never get to that pinnacle. And so they just give and give and give, just like a man sitting at a bar stool and just drink, 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 until he has nothing, not a dime left. And he has given one thing to Yahweh. He's given everything and consumed upon his own lust and his own pleasure. That's why they do it. It's not because they trust Yahweh or even their God. They're doing it to satisfy themselves, to get something. So they're not giving not to get anything. You understand? They're doing that to get something. So they've gone astray through the strong drink. They have no vision. Verse 8, look at this. Verse 8, chapter 28 of Yeshaya. It says, for all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, the first and the most prominent thing in every home is a table, there, isn't it? And it's full of vomit. And that's all that thing spew out is vomit. That's all the television spew out is vomit and unclean. Man. What is this movie, Brookback? I don't know the name of it. About these, what is it? Brookback Mountain. About these two homosexual men now falling in love. And it is the box office favor. It is the mind control and the filth of this generation. Is that normal? No, that's perverted. That's demonic. And yet everybody wants to see it. Parents are taking their children. I guarantee people are crying at that thing. Do you understand that? I guarantee people are very emotional about it. Man, people got emotional about that little thing in Star Wars. What was his name? I've never seen a trilogy of it. Episode of, what is it? Yoda? That little nasty thing that had the funny ears. Oh, man, people cry behind that little demonic thing. I've listened to people, Yoda was so, what he did was just so, it was so heartwarming, and I had to cry. They cry behind that. And here they go see these two men call themselves men, get married, and they find a liaison with each other, and people buy that. They've spent hundreds of millions to see that. It is the number one box office. People are just going, they're mesmerized by it. He said, the tables are full of vomit. So the first thing you see in the homes is a table, don't you? And the things spew out vomit. The most prominent thing. They make sure the thing is clean, it's pretty. Sure they do. It's that thing. Tell, the vision of hell. And it comes from the corridors of darkness. And it tells them every kind of devious thing. He said they've lost the vision. See, they don't have the vision, do they? Because they sit there, all see the preacher sit there all day watching that. That's what he said. He said they go astray in vision. They go astray in vision. So he sits there and watch Ron partially, some little preach about the size of this. He sits there all day and watch Ron partially, and he gets up and try to perform just like Ron partially. I want to say to you that the Lord said that he's going to bless you. God said that your destiny will unfold before your eyes if you understand the reciprocity of God. I know how to talk. And I could talk it and it could live fat. Tell all you all, let me get you a little money. You all move and I'll just live here. We get somebody to bulldoze it all out. We'll be all right. Do you hear that? Your destiny is before your eyes. And that's what these men do. Your destiny, God has chosen your destiny and it's before your eyes. Do you understand the reciprocity of God? Let me show you. Hold on for a minute. Can you get that? And the people are mesmerized with these strong drinks, strong wines. That's just like a man having a Volkswagen and going from a Volkswagen to a nice 5.0 Mustang. And can you imagine going from a 5.0 Mustang to a Cornish, a Lamborghini, huh? To between night and day. A Lamborghini go from zero to probably 65 miles an hour in 2-3 seconds. The 5.0 will fly, but that was complete. And you think about the Lamborghini, they set you down and they say, all right, we designed the car around you. How do you want it to fit on your hips? How do you want it to fit on your back? How do you want your arms to rest? How far you want your legs? What kind of gas pedal? What kind of wood? What pedal you want to tell us? And that's what it's like. You understand? And that's what these powers are doing. And so they're feeding them strong drink. It's a drink that satisfies the flesh. That's all it does. You sit there and drink a little wine, it doesn't satisfy, make the heart truly merry. it began to dull the heart. You don't even think right. And the more you drink, the sicker you get. He said, the tables are full of vomit. They're full of vomit and filthiness, and there is no place clean. You can't find a clean place on it. He says, to whom shall he teach knowledge? Who can Yahweh teach knowledge today? Who? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who can he make to understand doctrine today? This is a dismal generation. Those that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. Hebrews 6, 1, 2, 3 tells you that. He said those that are weaned from milk. There's a generation that it can barely suck milk down. Barely. You see, I was trying to get that cow up. She's not a heifer. She's a cow now. I was trying to get up because I knew the little calf needed milk. The little calf trying to suck on my leg, my hand. The little calf needed milk. And so if it means prodding that heifer to be rough with her, I would be rough with her. That's the way the nature of a beast is. One thing when a beast is wounded, they will just die. That's why many times they're just killed. Boom. Why? Because they lose the will to live. So you can't just stroke the thing and just go over there and pat her on her head and just feed her corn all day because she'd get fat down there where she will not get up. Then it'll make her hoof sore where she will not be willing to get up. They become tender. So you put a little fire to her hips. Yeah, I touch in the place where I know it will hurt, and that's that nose, that little soft part right there. I hit it right there. Well, that's cruel. That's what they're doing. It's a great thing in London today, the Thames River, that they got a bottleneck whale there and fear that the whale may be lost. You see what words they use to control the minds, and the people become so carried away with that. Oh, little old whale. But I tell you something, that whale would have died. It's going to die. It's just come to the end of its cycle. It's not what he's doing. It's probably trying to find a place where it can beach where it can die. And this ignorant, stupid generation. Why? Because they want to let you know where you shouldn't touch any kind of animal life. No, I'm going to eat me some goat, some lamb, some bass, some bluegill. I'm going to eat that. Eat a little collard greens with it, a little cabbage with it, a little cornbread. Sure am. I'm going to eat that kind of stuff. I'm not going to eat lettuce and green beans and pinto beans and lentil. No, I want some meat. I want some fish. Don't want no catfish, but I sure want me some bass. Don't want no dolphin, but I sure want me some black sea bass. I'm going to eat it. Well, because Yahweh made it for me to eat. And it is good. It's good for your body, too. Makes you strong. That's right. I'm going to eat me some meat. Chicken. Let's bake a fried. I'll eat it. Hallelujah, Yahweh. He said, the table is filthy. It's unclean. And the most prominent table in these homes today, you see that. Tell the vision of darkness, and it teaches them the visions. And that's why your children, your sons, and your daughters walk in visions that are so far removed from Yahweh. It is not of Yahweh. And it is not the meat that Yahweh intends for us to eat. He is not feeding us with this filth. It is not coming from Him. He feeds us with the meat of the Torah. We must obey Him in all things. He is not going to comfort you in your wickedness and your sins. You're not going to do what you think you can do against Him and think He's going to bless that and cause your heart to be merry. That's why your heart is not merry. The blessing of Yahweh caused the heart to be merry. You're not blessed. I don't care what they do. I don't care how intelligent they are. That does bless the heart. What blesses the heart is what Yahweh commands you to do. I don't care how smart. I don't care if they go to Dartmouth or they can go to one of the most prestigious junior colleges in the world. College in America. They don't mean nothing. They don't mean nothing. It means what Yahweh says. That's the most important thing. And they don't believe what Yahweh said. They don't believe He's coming. But that's all right. He's going to come. He's going to tear it down. I don't care if you get offended with what I say. If I touch you or your family, your son, daughter, it makes no difference at all. I touch the sin of Yahweh's people. I show them the corruption and what thing they really care for. They don't love Yahweh. It's a generation that doesn't love Yahweh. How can me, as a dad, if I'm a father, how can I teach my son how to love his wife unless I have a wife and I love my wife? I can't teach him. Unless the son sees for me what it takes to love a wife, how can I teach him? How can a mother teach a daughter how to be a daughter or how to love a husband unless she knows how to do it? And the thing that Shatan does today, he teaches your daughters to be rebellious and to defy the Torah when it tells you to obey as living with your husbands, and so it does with the man. And so we don't want nobody to tell us that. We don't want to show us our deficiencies. Here's a 16-year-old lad writes and says, You show me all the things that I need to solve for my heart. And we are a stubborn, wicked generation full of hell, full of corruption. And we don't want Yahweh to tell us what things are in us so filthy and so corrupt. You're wicked. You want to die in your corruption. And that's just the truth. And Yahweh gives us an example. A young 16-year-old boy has no one, just a house whereby there are unbelievers. And believe me, I guarantee he is just as punctual. He is just as forthright with them. Why? Because he knows that that's his bread. He knows that. I guarantee you, he's obedient. He's going to have to go back to his country eventually. But I guarantee he does that. Why? Because they make, he's probably never had food like that. Probably never eaten the way he's eating there. Those kids in these poor countries, come on, African places like that, they're bright kids. I mean, they're much far ahead than we are. They speak 2 or 3, 4 or 5 languages, different dialects. Dialect of French, German, and then speak English, and then speak another dialect. They're much smarter than our kids. Very proficient in math and in science. They're very smart. They are. Huh? And we call them heathens. And they're very smart kids. They are. They would tear the college circuit up over here if they could just come and go to college. They would tear it up. They would. This is the bottom line. You know, I was reading the other day that most of the kids in college today, it's sad. Because they are not even literate enough. They have no functional skills, what they say. They don't even know how to function. They have no congeniality. They don't know how to be cordial. They don't know how to deal with people. That's just the truth. Because the parents haven't taught them that. I was listening to Mike Collins yesterday, and the mother says, I'm a handicap, and I work. And my daughter said to me, I'm not going to work at a place like that because that's beneath me. She said, I was so troubled by what she said to think that she is above something. Now, this is a mother. They called in a talk show to tell that this is my daughter. He had her name, called her name out. That's this generation. She said, that's beneath me. As my grandmother would say, don't have a pot to urinate in or a window to throw it out. You own nothing, brothers and sisters. You are not the possessors of anything. You just possess your soul. And that is why the powers that be are feeding your mind with every kind of delusion there is. He doesn't want you to walk in truth. And delusion takes you away from the realities of life. That's what it does. But a man doesn't understand the realities of life, and he's easily deceived, and they're easily taken. So we don't want someone to stand forth right and tell us that we're just doing things ignorantly. We're doing them wrong, and your purpose will never satisfy Yahweh. There's only one purpose, and that's to do His will and to please Him. He was a son. Yahshua, wasn't he? How did he learn obedience? And we don't want to suffer, do we? Come on, look to your neighbor and say, I don't want to suffer. And we don't want to do that. Nah. We want things our way or the highway with Yahweh. This is what I want and that's it. And Yahweh said, not so. It's not going to be that way. Nah, we don't want to suffer. You don't want to suffer. You don't have the ability to do it. Just like little children. My way. This is a generation that has, that's why we have no patience. You know, that's how patience comes. Tribulation brings patience, doesn't it? What is tribulation? A great trial without murmuring and complaining. When you learn how not to murmur and complain because of your situation and conditions, it brings about a great trust in Yahweh. And that's why we don't trust Him. Because we have not learned how not to murmur and complain. Because the powers that be teach our mind and draw us away from His truth, that everything we see is to satisfy us and not to please Him. And so we murmur when we don't have, when we don't get, when things don't satisfy us. And Yahweh said, not so. It is not of Him. And that's the truth. I tell you what, I'm going to rejoice. Some of y'all look as dead as they come, but I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to stop moving up here. Why is he doing that? Because it makes my soul feel good. Sure. I'm going to do that. I ain't going to stop. For nobody. You understand that? Not at all. I'm going to close from here. There's much more to this, but I want to close. I want to read another scripture. We bless you that are listening on the live stream today. Hallelujah. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read this and close. So much Hallelujah way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Jehovah said, looking diligently, lest any man fall or fail of the favor of Yahweh. So how do you look diligently? You look in your own heart and search your own heart. Lest any root of bitterness spring up in you to harm you. And that's what bitterness does. We think it harms someone else. He said, lest a root of bitterness spring up in you and harm you. Thereby many are defiled. They are corrupt. And see, when one has a root of bitterness, do they corrupt others? You ever had the root of bitterness and to go and corrupt others? And this is a nation and a people that is bitter against Yahweh. And so what it does everything to corrupt everything. Everything on television today, everything in the media, everything it just gets Yahweh's Torah. It's against the excellence and the beauty of man. It has nothing to do with the beauty of Yahweh. Everyone has a God. Everyone has their faith. There's only one Emunah. And it's the moon of Yahweh. Now look what it says now. It says, lest, verse 16, there be any fornicators. Now what is a fornicator? It is an idolatrous worshiper. You that worship flesh and worship all kinds of gods. Having this relationship with things in your mind that doesn't produce the righteous Torah of Yahweh. And that's a fornicator. One that goes outside the realm before one gets married and does something that is filthy. Now that's just what it is. And when one does that, this is what happens. Now that's just the truth. A fornicator, a profane, a filthy person, as Esau, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now that's what we're doing. Selling the rights to be sons of Yahweh for a piece of bread. And that's what they're feeding you, just a piece of filthy bread. A piece of bread that is full of deception. Filthy. And he sold his birthright for one morsel of bread. And that's all that Christianity offers, doesn't it? God wants you to have what you want. He wants you to have your homes and all that. That's what they offer. Is that not what Shaitan offer? No one scripture, but how much you offer that? Noah! Show me what place. Christianity is nothing but a form of a pagan religion. It has come out of Torah truth. And has based things on some kind of Torah tradition. But it's not the Torah truth of Yahweh. It's just a religion. And he tells us this. Look at this now. I want you to hear this in verse 17. For you know that how afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, when he would have received the fullness of Yahweh, he was rejected. See, people think that they're going to go in and out, but I'm telling you, he said he was rejected. You're not going to sell your birthright for a piece of bread. And that's what this power to be is doing. Twisting the minds and selling the birthright for some whorish experience. And when he was rejected, scripture says, for he found no place of repentance. For there was no chance of him recovering it. None whatsoever. Well, I'll just pray for him. He'll get right. No, he's not going to get right. I'll pray for her. No, she's not. That's not going to put his hands to the plow and turn his back. He's not even fit. What do you put your hands to the plow for? The plow the field to sow bread. I don't care if it's your daughter, your son, your grandmother, your mammy, it makes no difference at all. When he tried to find a place to get back, Yahweh said, no, you're not getting back. See, everybody wondered, they missed that whole thing with the prodigal son. He had nothing. It was just the goodness of his dad and mercy. Gave him some bread. And he was at the mercy of his brother. Because daddy was going to die, and daddy died. And everything belonged to the brother. Brother said, now you can be a servant, or you're going to work just like them. You got nothing here, boy. Nothing. He's just his daddy. Tenderness of his daddy. Saying, we killed the fattest cow. Give you something. But when he died, brother said, You squander that. If I give you more, you will do the same thing. And that's what will happen. And so when he tried to find a place, he was a filthy, vile thing. He allowed the world and to twist his mind away from the truth of Yahweh. He was drunken by the greed and the lust of the world. And he turned his heart away from Yahweh. When he tried to find a place to repent, there was no place to repent. Look at this. For he had no, scripture says, and though he sought it carefully with tears, he cried. He cried. But there was no chance of him recovering that. And you're not going to recover with your tears. I say this. Even though we were in a heathen way, in a pagan way, we didn't understand things. I watched my natural brother. I watched the man who's 60 years old now. And I remember, never forget the day when he turned his heart away from even the simple truths that we had come in touch with. And I'll never forget his words and his tears as he began to cry, as I began to pray for him. I'll never forget these words. And it terrorized my heart what he said. He said, I try to get back, but I can't. I try and I try. He said, I come over one hurdle and there's another hurdle there. And he says, so I drink and I gurgitate, I drink. That's what he said. He said this to me, don't ever turn your heart away from God. He used that expression now. And don't you know, some years later, you know what he told me? Oh, you can smoke some marijuana with me. You'll be all right. I said, nah, you smoke it. Nah, I ain't going to smoke it. Nothing wrong with getting a little high tonight here when you get high. I got my high. And I'm high above your high. Nah. Can I tell you something? He's still in that state today. Drunken. Mind's twisted. Head twisted. Can't even get from out of that cauldron of darkness. What happened? His children are that way. Daughters, babies, like whores. All of them. No husbands. Nothing. See, what the world has done is twisted the minds. I don't care what some of y'all say. Some of y'all have never gotten husbands. Well, you've got some man to marry you. You've got a husband. That's just the truth. That's the truth. I don't care what you say. It takes a man to be around a man to understand what a man is. See, most men have been around boys. It takes a man to be around a man for a man to understand what a man is. A man that has the power of Yahweh. You understand? And that's true. And so Yahweh made a man. He made the man, didn't he? Then what came next? The woman. Did he make the woman for the man? That's what he made them for. Period. And everything Shatan do is try to. Huh? And so what hurt the woman down to? They've gone and fornicated, gave themselves to every kind of dark power it is. That's what they've done. Huh? That's what they've done. And I want to tell all y'all something. Listen to me. Get upset if you want to. Yahweh is not mocked. Don't think you can mock him. For some of a man's sword, you've got to reap it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you sold it 10 years ago, you still reap it. You sold it 20 years ago, you still going to reap it. I do too. I don't care who you are. Now, because judgment is not expedient brought upon you, then your heart becomes fully set to do evil. But what do? We reap it. And that's just it. So why should a man complain or murmur because he suffered for his own sin? Just bless you. I want you to help me. That's what you do. Because you sown it. Nobody sow that for you. You did that. You can't blame nobody else. That has befallen you because of your own wickedness, your sins, your own corruption, things that you have done. It's nobody else's fault. Then you get mad at someone else, but it's your fault. It's not someone else's fault. I don't suffer Sister Robert's sin. She doesn't suffer for my sins. You understand? What things I've done to mock my Abba, I reap that. And you're going to reap it too. I don't care who you are. I care what you are. So he gives us the standard of a man and a woman. And what this power that be, what it's doing is destroying that. Removing a woman away from the beauty of being a wife. Removing a man away from his strength as a man, as how much he is head. That's what it's doing. Very few men left today, brothers and sisters. Very few. You can't hardly find them. And that's why your daughters, I'm telling you, as I say to women, you know, I don't care what no one. Can I tell you all this, sisters? I tell you, my wife has never tried to take my strength. She has never. Well, have you had the fuss out of here? Has she fussed back? Yeah. But she's never tried to take my strength. She tried to raise hell with you right now. She doesn't do that. I don't care what you all think. Because if I was that way, this place would be this way. She doesn't do that to me. You understand? When I say something, it goes in. I don't have to. That's it, period. Do I have a tender heart? Sure. I know I'm the arbiter, but I'm not going to abuse her because of that. I know how to treat her right, too. You understand? Scripture tells me to love her. And I'm going to do what Scripture says. But she doesn't raise hell with me. You're going to do that with that. Tell them, she says, no! She would tell them about the bowls. I said, Sister Roberts, I said, I don't care about the bowls. This ain't the bowl. I said, we got all these folks and you're going to lose bowls of time. I know Sister Roberts, she got plates and spoons. She's had mine. I said, you're going to lose a few bowls. That's all right. Don't worry about it. That don't mean you still take advantage of that and abuse it. It doesn't mean nothing. So if I was that kind of a self-peddling man, believe me, you would know it. That I ain't. I also have a tenderness too. Know how to love her. Sure. That must be there. Huh? Are you good at that, Pastor Robert? No, I ain't good at it. I get better each day. Learn a little more each day. Understand things a little better each day. You understand? Well, does she help you? Why? Sure she does. Show me why I'm missing the boat. But she's not going to do that. But I will tell you something, man. If you don't do that, I'm going to do that. Nah, woman. You ain't going to do me like that. Shut your mouth. See, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. I said, this is it. That's it. I don't want... Ain't no conversation behind that. That's just it. Period. Y'all get quiet on me. That's all right. Honey, how does she respond to yes, sir? Yes, sir. What does that do? Well, it makes my heart tender.
When she responds that way, when she talks like that, make me soft. Do you understand? Make me soft. I said, man, maybe I look too hard. So make sure I can find a back door. What about that, sister? Oh, I'm all right. Okay, yeah. I like that guy. Well, give me a hug or something. I don't want the door shut on me. Hallelujah. You owe me as well. Hear me. This is the truth. You owe me never be honest enough to say that. I'm just honest enough with you. Huh? Tell you the truth. That's it. Hallelujah. May Yahweh bless you. You that are listening by the live stream, we bless you today. We pray that Yahweh bless your heart. Brother Mike and Michaelah and young man Alex, not little Alex. All right. We bless you as well, Sister Christina. She called me last night. I asked her what time was it. It was 1 a.m. They were listening to the broadcast there in Oster, Switzerland. And her husband was in Spain playing soccer. We bless you all then. 12 people listening, 3 in each house. Boy, that would fill the house up, Elder Martin, wouldn't it? Well, we bless you all that are listening. We thank Yahweh for you all. Hope the message bless you today and cause your heart to be strengthened. And cause your love to be fervent for Yahweh. I do love you all. I love this house as well. You brothers stand by me. I'm going to do right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Only men are going to stand by me, all right? Because that's what I am. I ain't no boy. I'm a man. Are you boasting? No, I'm just telling you that. So a man knows another man, so a man will have a man thing with a man. So men will stand by men. Don't prostitutes hang together? Don't you have effeminates hanging together? Do not homosexuals hang together? Do not people that are inferior hang with each other? So men hang with men. Hallelujah. That's it. So when Sister Honeycutt looks over at Deacon Miss, she sees a man. Why? Because he hangs with another man. That's all right. That's all right. That's right. So boys they don't like men. Because men tend to handicap boys. Is that right, old man? Sure. It shows him where he belongs. So I'll tell you the truth because I love you. We're going to need this kind of preaching in this hour. The world is twisted. And they're twisting the minds of this generation. There's no love for Yahweh. You don't find it in your sons, your daughters. And you parents, you with the little ones, you better begin to teach them. And that's why I say train them when they're young. You don't know how to train them. You train them how to act hellish and crazy. You train them with a Batman. I was listening to a woman the other day. She said her son, at 3 years old, he had a Batman cape. He wore that thing for 3 years to the whole house, the church. Everywhere he went, he wore a Batman cape. He was more impressed with Batman than he was with a man. And so you don't teach them. You don't train them. Scripture means what it says. I watched your brother the other night with that little heifer. That's what she said, the little heifer. She's tender, pretty. I watched her training. She's looking for mama for that big nipple. She couldn't find it. So I watched your brothers. I watched him put that bottle in her mouth, and they train her. Put that fire on that couch. He just making a move. I guarantee she was moving. She was stretching them legs out, too. Yes, she was. Can I tell you something? If we get up she little while, you're probably having a hamburger and a ribs, too. I ain't got emotion about this cow. I'm going to butcher her one day. Put a dog in the front of her. Put that little dog of Brother down there. The dog saw that and it ran. Bro, Shark and Dust up there, when the Shark is on, he went for a nose. He said, I get that. She bull on him, and he went, he wasn't playing with her. And that's what that dog was for, to herd cows. Of course, they were bigger than that. They were about 250 pounds, the big dogs. That's what we're meant for. To run a cow down and take it down. I guarantee you put both of them dogs, they'd take that cow down. I guarantee they'd take it down. He went right where the most vital part, that nose. That's where he went. Okay, Calvin had it. He jumped up. That's what he went for that nose. He'd have grabbed that nose. He would not let it go. He just, and she'd have went down too. You can control a cow. He's about grabbing the nose. I got a nose. You put that thing in there, you take it where you want to go. Yeah, that's right, old man. Just a ring in the nose. That's how you control it. Huh? But so that little heifer over there, she has to be taught. And she knows that the mom ain't up, but she did that old powder milk and with a little honey in that tastes just as good as mama's milk and keeps her alive. And so you have to train them and teach them. And you must teach them. It is in peril that you teach them and show them. And Yahweh wants you to do that. And when you teach them right, they'll have beautiful little ways. They'll be sweet. They act sweet. They look sweet. I'm not talking about no physical look. You folks are twisted with that. twisted with some physical look. I like to see a sweet little baby. I like that more than anything. I don't care what a baby is. Just the baby's sweet. I like that. Ain't sweet. I don't care. Get away. You understand, huh? Yeah, that's where I am. I like sweet little baby. I care what they look like. There ain't no problem. Because I don't look at the physical look. Little children, they're just beautiful little things anyway. I don't care what they look like physically. Some of my little children. Huh? See them little girls right there? Elamar said to me the other day, he said, Pastor Roberts, the ones that he's going to keep are the ones that they must be trained. And trained right. Sometimes they pray with me up here. You want to hear that they try to enunciate the words just like me. And I bless you, Yahweh. I shake their hand. Yahweh, I love you. Yahweh, I love you. Gotta be taught. I guarantee you, I can take them and teach them how to dance. Hammer can take them, 50 Cent, take them in 5 minutes. They'll be, huh? I don't love them. They will shoot. Come on. Wilson Pickett, they be twisting fat dumbers. No, come on. Don't take nothing, teach them that. Huh? You can take one of the superheroes and teach them how to act like a fool. Just put it in their hand. You don't have to show them. That spirit in that thing will teach them how to act like a fool. And that's why your children act like fools, because you put that trash in them. Get that trash. Get it out of here. I don't care who you are. Don't need no Batman. They need the real man. Yes, hallelujah. They need Yahshua the man. Come on, Brother Patrick. Hallelujah. I don't care if I don't make friends. I got a 16-year-old friend there in England. I can write him. 16 years old. That's all right. Most 16-year-olds don't even like me. When they get 16 here, young brother Noel, they turn against me. They don't like me. The little girls, they get hard-headed. We got them here, the little boys. They get the smell of their mustache, and yet you say, the preaching softened your heart. I bless you, my young friend. There was a young man that he used to write me all the time. His name is, what's his name? He's in the Navy now. He was a virtuous young man. He was still a virgin. I told him, I said, keep yourself when you go in the Navy. I hope he hasn't become polluted, you know, really. And he wrote me, he sent me a chess game. He sent me, what is that? Fritz 8. He just sent it. He bought it for me. I've never seen the man. He sent me a picture of him. I sent him a picture of me. And he sent me a Fritz chess game. It animates, you know, you can play chess. It's very powerful. Thing. And he, even though he last time he wrote me back during the summer, he said, I'm going to be gone. He said, I checked the website out. Everything is beautiful. He said, I'm going to be gone out. I'm going to be on the water for 6 to 8 months. At a shot. I don't know if he's going to be out in almost a year, just out there in the ocean, on the water. He said, I may not think it, preacher, but my job is the safest job. He said, I'm a submarine mechanic, but I got a good, safe job. But he writes me all the time. And he always stayed in touch with me. Always, how you doing today, preacher? How's everything? I got a problem. And the thing of it is, one day I was playing a game of chess with him, and he was cheating. He said, this is what he said to me. I said, man, you're good. You got a good rating. I mean, that's pretty rating, 2,500. And he said to me, he said, preacher, can I tell you something? You're not, can I be honest with you? He said, I'm nothing but a low-down, nothing good, boom, 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 cheater. That's what he told me. He said, I'm nothing. I said, how do you get that rating? He said, I just use a software. I use a program, and I play others, and I beat them, and I'm just a cheater. Of course, then when he would play me straight up, then he was in trouble. I didn't play him with 2 or 3 games. That's it. I don't have to hide nothing, Saints. But we just had a little relationship, and he would write. We had that instant message. He'd come online. I would see me. I'd come online. He would see me, and he would just write, man, how you doing today, preacher? How's everything? And he joined the Navy. I said, you don't want to do that. He said, well, I got to do something. I said, don't do that, boy. Just get a job. Stay home. The only child, live up there in Tennessee. They weren't far from Pastor Dapp there. Then he went into the Navy, and he's somewhere out in the seas now, somewhere. But he wrote me this summer. He always writes me. He said, maybe I'll be able to get a computer, be able to stay in contact with you. See, you don't have things like that. And you go in the military. They don't have that in Iraq and stuff like that. Oh, Tom, he doesn't have that. Huh? May Yahweh bless you all today. You that are listening to me, Yahweh bless you, and we do all bless you. Let us stand to our feet. Come on and join with us as we sing this song with each other. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Come on.
There be love shared among us. There be love in our lives. May now your love sweep this house. Cause us Yahweh. Fresh. understanding above any love that is real.
Grab your neighbor's hand.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our life. May now your love, sweet in this house, cause us Yahweh. Give us a friend, understanding a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Come on, look in your neighbor's eyes and sing that. Come on.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our lives. Lay down your love, sweep this house. Cause us, Yahweh, to arise. A fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is so real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
One more time, come on, you that are listening, sing with us.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our life. May now your love, sweet as ours, cause us, Yahweh, to arise. Give us a understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
For our hearts to rejoice today, Abba. We thank you for this Shabbat. Our friends that are listening by live stream of the internet, we do bless you for that medium that we can touch those in Italy, and those in Switzerland, and Spain, those in England, in the United States of America. We understand that there will be only a few, and we're not discouraged. So we bless you for those 12 listeners that are with us today here in the Bayat of Yahweh, to bless you, my Abba. We thank you for all things. We bless you for bread and meat for our beings. Help us all today that we may be strong and go forth in the Emunah of Yahshua HaMashiach. And all things we bless you, we thank you. And all the saints said, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.